Test 1, 2. Okay, I need you over here.
Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and our board just went up, but fortunately we have a new board, so we hope to have with us in just a few moments our good friend Chris Pinto, and we will go from there. Anyway, we're trying to get things, everything all straightened out here, and we hope to have Chris on the line with us in just a moment. And we're going to be talking about the Eye of the Phoenix. And we apologize for the delay, but, you know, when you're dealing with electronics, sometimes they can be a little temperamental. And for whatever reason, this was very, very temperamental this evening. We're working with a jury-rigged system. But at least we've got a system going. So we'll be with you in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. And we've got Chris Pinto on the line. Hi, Chris. How are you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan, can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, and that's so good for you to be with us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have Chris Pinto with us because, of course, he has come up with a great new DVD. It's called The Eye of the Phoenix, and we just got our supply in. We got them in yesterday. I think we probably already sold over a dozen of them. This is one of the great DVDs of all time, and those of you who have seen Chris's earlier productions, that, of course, go into the background of the Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning and Riddles in Stone, two excellent DVDs that go into the fact that there have been, since the inception of our country, even before that, certain forces here, occult forces, who have always wanted to use America's power to bring about a one-world government, to bring about world democracy. And that's the reason, of course, we're fighting over in the Middle East. Why would we be sending our troops into Iraq to bring democracy when America isn't a democracy, it's a republic? Because for thousands of years, people working within secret societies have been intent about bringing about world democracy. But, of course, much of the story is told with the esoteric or occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill. So with that as a background, Chris, you pick up the story. Chris, wait a minute, we lost Chris. I'm going to ask our producer to get Chris back again. And I don't know what happened to Chris, but if our producer wouldn't mind getting him back again, we'll have him here in just a moment. And as we begin to explore the background of this incredible story of the secret societies, and yes, ladies and gentlemen, there really are secret societies, and it's almost impossible to understand anything going on today unless you understand their impact upon every aspect of the society in which we live. So without further ado, we'll have Chris on, and he'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, hi, Chris. Are you there? Chris, are you there? Chris, are you there?
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets. A little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away. And the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com.
...of people who are very deeply into the occult and that they fashioned the symbols in such a way...
Go right ahead.
Okay. Anyway, I was saying they had fashioned the symbols in such a way that...
Go right ahead.
Okay, can you hear me?
Go right ahead, Chris.
Okay.
Chris was saying that the people who had actually created the country had fashioned the symbols and put them on the back of the dollar bill. And of course, they had tremendous esoteric significance, of course, to the occultists back in 1935 when the emblem was put on the back of the dollar bill. and they should have significance for us today. But the average individual is never told these things. In fact, the people on the other side, the people who hate Christianity and hate America, hide their emblems in plain sight, and this is exactly what they've done. Chris, are you there?
I'm here, Sam.
Well,
can you hear me?
This is the basic thing that you're going to learn from the from the Eye of the Phoenix, which is really an excellent, excellent overview of certainly of the emblems on the back of the dollar bill. And you'll never look at the dollar bill in the same manner as you do today once you've seen this this DVD. So we're very, very pleased with it. We think it has a tremendous a message, and I think it's something that should be seen by everyone. Chris, are you there?
I am here, Stan.
Well,
I can
hopefully
hear you.
We're going to be able to get Chris back on the air here. It's unfortunate, but we're just having all sorts of problems, and our engineers working frantically and doing a great job of getting everything done. But Chris, can you hear me at all? Well, I apologize to our listening audience. Anyway, I think this is such an important subject that as long as we have Chris here, we'll talk a little bit about the emblem on the back of the dollar bill. We'll talk about the pyramid capped by the all-seeing eye, the triangle with the all-seeing eye. Now, that is a symbol of the ancient mystery religions. Franklin Delano Roosevelt and Henry Wallace, who was the Secretary of Agriculture, both of these two men were deeply involved in the occult. Henry Wallace, of course, and I'm going to ask our producer to get Chris back on the line. Henry Wallace had actually was certainly a theosophist. He was the disciple of a man named Nicholas Roark. And Nicholas Roark was an occultist. He was deeply involved in the occult and in Satanism. And he, of course, already most people have never even heard of him. He was a very famous artist during the first half of the last century. In fact, there is a building in New York City that was used to hold the pictures. He was a painter, and if you look at his paintings, they all have an occult background. And I'm going to simply ask our producer if he wouldn't mind getting Chris Pinto back on the line, see if we can get Chris up and get things going. But what people don't understand is it was Nicholas Roark, who was basically a Satanist, who was the inspiration for Henry Wallace and encouraged Henry Wallace to put these esoteric emblems of the ancient mystery religions on the back of the dollar bill. And that is why you see that eye, which is the symbol of the ancient mystery religions, being used there. It has been used by every one of the secret societies down through the ages. So what is it doing on the back of the dollar bill? It symbolized the ascent of the esoteric religions into positions of total power here in the United States. And this, of course, is the one message that the American people are never to know or never to understand. And so our goal, our hope, is that people want to get this DVD. It's called The Eye of the Phoenix, and it will help them to communicate these ideas to others. Because we have to understand that although America was created by Christians, it was also created by occultists who had a different agenda, who had a different beliefs, because they worshipped a different god, and it was their intent to use the political power of this country, the political power of the United States, and the military power of the United States to establish democracies throughout the world. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and hopefully while we're going to have with us Chris Pinto in just a few moments. Right now we're having a little difficulty even seeing the clock, but we're going to be back in just a moment. And I'm going to ask my producer if he wouldn't mind trying to get Chris back on the line. I think that things are shaping up. I can begin to hear my own voice coming through the earphones, and of course our engineer is working frantically to try to get things together. So we'll be back in just a moment right here at Radio Liberty. Dr. Stan, and of course, okay, fine. Well, we hope we'll have Chris Pinto on here in just a moment or two. And with us, and of course, we can pick up the story because it's such an important story. And I do apologize to those people out there in the listening audience for being a little erratic today. But unfortunately, we seem to be pretty well sabotaged as far as our efforts are concerned. But our electronic difficulties, hopefully we can get enough of this out so it'll be worth your while to listen to the program this evening. Right now, of course, we've been talking about the emblems on the back of the dollar bill. Why is there a pyramid there? Well, of course, people will tell you it was because our founding fathers believed that America was to be the foundation for this wonderful new Christian society. Well, we can argue back and forth on that, but no one can argue about the fact that the people who put the emblem on the back of the dollar bill were deeply involved in Satanism, and they had an entirely different agenda. Chris, are you there?
I am, Stan. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine, so you can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Praise the Lord.
All right, fine. Well, you just pick up the story about the emblem on the back of the dollar bill and the significance, not necessarily of why it was put on the back of the Great Seal of the United States, but the fact that there were people deeply involved in the occult, Henry Wallace and FDR, who made sure that that emblem was put on the back of the dollar bill. Go right ahead.
Well, what's very interesting about it is that you've got the official history given by the State Department. And the State Department has a history, including the account given by Henry Wallace, who admits in his letters that he specifically wanted the Great Seal on the back of the dollar bill because he was a Freemason. And he believed that these were Masonic emblems and that the all-seeing eye represented the eye of the great architect. So he takes this emblem to FDR, and he shows it to him. And then FDR is the 32nd degree Mason, and they both see in the phrase, the Novus Ordo Seclorum, the new order of the ages, they believe that that could be translated the New Deal of the ages. And, of course, FDR had his whole New Deal program, which was essentially the same as this New World Order program, collectively. And so they decide, you know, initially Wallace wanted to put this on a coin, but then FDR suggested, let's put it on the back of the dollar bill. And then it goes from there. But the additional information that's given out by a couple of New York Times editors, or at least one New York Times editor, in the book Tournament of Shadows, where they talk about how this mysterious Russian mystic...
Just a moment.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we seem to be up and running with our good friend Chris Pento, who is the writer and producer and director of the DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix. So, Chris is just telling us that it was in 1935 when the Secretary of Agriculture, who was deeply involved in the occult, went to the President of the United States, who was deeply involved in the occult, was fascinated with the writings of Manly P. Hall, who was a Satanist, who sent a crew from Washington, D.C., out to the Manly P. Hall's Philosophical Research Foundation in Southern California to make photocopies of all of his work on Satanism. And the President of the United States, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who plotted and got us into World War II, Henry Wallace and FDR, put this occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill. We're telling you the story of the new DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, that was a very interesting thing that we uncovered when I was able to interview several years ago the president of Manly Hall's Society, the Philosophical Research Society. And what's interesting is in the 1920s and 30s, Hall had been writing all of these books. He had been financed by some oil baroness in California who saw him speak when he was a young man and was very impressed with him and went to him and said that she wanted to basically pay him, you know, that she was going to take care of him financially and that he wasn't going to have to worry about money. And that she wanted him to go around the world and gather manuscripts and ancient books and things like that and conduct his research. So Hall basically had a free ticket initially to go about, and he goes around collecting all of these manuscripts and so on from the ancient mysteries, the Tibetan Buddhism and Kabbalah and secret societies and all of this stuff, which they openly publish and talk about on the PRS website, if you were to go to their website today. And Hall was collecting these materials for years, and through them, through studying them, he came to believe that America had this secret destiny that was known by the secret societies and known by the cultures of the ancient world, that they viewed America as the site of ancient Atlantis, and that when America was discovered, it was really rediscovered. And so these secret societies had come here with this plan. And this is what Hall's writing about. He's writing about the secret destiny of America. He has another book called America's Assignment with Destiny, and so on. And these themes were picked up and believed by FDR and Henry Wallace, his Secretary of Agriculture. And they are both talking about, in their writings and their quotes and things like that, about how America has a rendezvous with destiny, which is a quote that FDR had that they put on the FDR monument. And Henry Wallace, in his letters, is calling America the land of destiny and so on. So it's obvious that they were moved by these themes and these ideas, which is very disturbing when you consider that Manly Hall was deeply involved in Luciferianism, that Hall had written in the 1920s his book on the lost keys of Freemasonry. And in that book is where he says that when the Mason truly understands his craft, then he holds the seething energies of Lucifer in his hands. And then, of course, you've got, Henry Wallace and FDR. They're 32nd degree Masons during this time. And they're deeply involved in Masonry. They weren't just, casual Masons and this kind of thing. They were deeply involved in the esoterica, especially Wallace. Wallace was not only a Mason, but he was involved, he was a member of the Theosophical Society, which had been founded by Madame Blavatsky, and she's openly writing in her letters that Lucifer is the true God and so on, and just celebrating Lucifer and Satan as the true God, and then denouncing the God of the Bible and doing this openly. And so this group, the Theosophical Society, is joined not only by Wallace, but by his mentor then, Nicholas Roerich. And it's believed that Roerich, through Wallace, influenced the design for the dollar bill. And in particular, the placement of the Great Seal with the all-seeing eye hovering over the pyramid. Now, what's interesting is that during this era, you had a lot of significant people who were theosophists, people like Mahatma Gandhi, and then there's Nehru, who was the first Prime Minister of India, Thomas Edison, and a host of other, intellectuals and so on were members of Blavatsky's group. And they were very political, especially in the politics of India and then throughout Central Asia. And they were definitely, in no uncertain way, working toward this idea of a one-world order and a unified world religion. And that's what Nicholas Roerich, and we reveal this, we show it to our audience in the film, in Eye of the Phoenix. We go to the Roerich Museum there in New York, and we show you Roerich's paintings and his artwork and so on. And all of his themes are these ecumenical one-world religion themes, where he's got paintings of Buddha and Muhammad and some of Jesus and some of the Madonna, all these different images of the Madonna, and then of Vishnu and all these different Eastern mystical gods, and then mixing them with Western traditional themes and things like that. And so he's really pushing this concept of an ecumenical one-world religion.
And, of course, the whole idea is to create a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world currency, and you see all of these things going on today. And then, of course, we see the move towards the one-world religion, where the immediate past president of the United States says, we all worship the same God, the Muslim, the Buddhist, the Hindu, and that's why he can, of course, go into their temples and worship. And of course, he then admitted at the end of his presidency, after beguiling all the Christian leaders of this country, that he doesn't believe in the Word of God, but the Bible is the Word of God. It's just a nice book with a lot of stories in it. And, of course, he is not an evangelical Christian, although he convinced the Christian leaders of this country he was. I attended a meeting where he was actually picked by the Christian leaders of this country, and on the great tragedy, he sat there and looked into our eyes and said, "Why, Billy Graham led me to the Lord. I believe the Lord is my..." And, of course, he didn't believe any of these things. God was simply another, our Lord was simply another one of the gods. They all worship the same God. Understand, the move is towards a one world religion, which is why FDR put Masons onto the Supreme Court, who then, in that position, would take God and prayer out of our schools. Why? To destroy Christianity, to destroy the faith of our children, and, of course, ultimately, to destroy America as a sovereign nation and merge us into the one world order, the one world religion. Would that be a fair appraisal?
Well, I think so, Stan. In fact, I think there's a certain amount of evidence that that the symbols on the dollar bill, the way that they're positioned, and I don't want to say too much on the show. I want people to see it in the film, but that those symbols are almost like an occult prophecy that looked forward to the destruction of America's economic system. You know, as part of, and the way that the themes are there, based upon the writings that these guys were influenced by, it suggests that, you know, America's currency would be destroyed, and then from the ashes would be born, you know, this new world order system.
And, of course, that is exactly what is going on today, which you bring out beautifully in this production, going into the economic destruction of the United States that is going on today. And, of course, you've really completed this in December, so you're covering a lot of things that are happening right now.
Yeah, we even had some breaking information in mid-December that ended up drawing out the editing there a little bit, but I thought it was very significant for those of us who follow Bible prophecy and how, you know, all of this stuff with the dollar bill and what the Masons believe about this, how all of it pertains to prophetic events that are happening in the Middle East. Again, I don't want to say too much, but very, very interesting, compelling stuff. It's interesting, Stan. I'm watching the news tonight, and I'm watching them go over all of the bailout packages and the billions of dollars that they're spending and giving to these different companies. And everybody's saying the same thing. They're giving away all these hundreds of billions of dollars and so on, and none of it is going to help the economy. And that's what all the experts are saying. None of this is going to help. None of it's going to keep us out of a recession or to keep our economy from collapsing. It's almost like just a blatant sabotage of our economy.
Well, of course, but it's really designed to destroy our economy and to destroy the value of our currency and to impoverish the American people. And this is what people don't understand. The reason, of course, they keep this global warming scam, what is this really all about? Why it is about forcing the United States to give up its industrial base, to stop producing electricity, to stop manufacturing, to send our manufacturing overseas so we can impoverish the American people. And people say that doesn't make any sense. Why would anybody want to do that? And the reason is because of these people have a different view of God, and they have an intense hatred of the United States, and that they're people, but they can't let the American people know that, and yet they've set out economically to destroy us through certainly the program of moving our industries overseas, a planned program of financing and helping and aiding our industries to move overseas, and now the attack through this myth of global warming, which will allow them, of course, to destroy the industrial base of our nation. When are the American people going to wake up?
I don't know. Well, we're trying to wake them up through this film.
Well, I think that if I've ever seen anything that could convince people of what's really going on, it's The Eye of the Phoenix. And we really recommend it, not because we're going to be selling it, because we think Chris did a great job. We spent the weekend watching the production, and then, of course, we just got the films, the DVDs in day before yesterday. The Eye of the Phoenix is something which every American needs to see, and of course, get to as many people as you can. This current economic collapse is all engineered. by people who have a different agenda. Why did we use the TARP funds that Henry Paulson got to try to stop the cascading foreclosures of our homes? Because they don't want to stop the problem. Why aren't they putting the money into things today that will correct the problem? Because they don't want to correct the problem. But they got to give you the idea that they're doing something, and all of it is going to fail, and not by accident. But you go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, I wanted, on that note, Stan, my wife is a CPA. She sat back and marveled at what they're doing. We have a member of our family, kind of a distant member, but who unfortunately lost their house because of the inability to pay the mortgage. And, one of his grievances is he's sitting here watching our government pay out all these billions to all of these failing companies, and yet none of this money that's supposedly going to help the American economy ever makes its way to your average American citizen. When if they really wanted to help our economy, they could just send everybody, $100,000, and we'd all be a lot better off, and don't give it to all of these crazy companies, and that would stimulate the economy. But they're kind of saying, well, no, let's give it to these banks, and then the banks will be able to loan more money to the American people. Well, that doesn't make any sense. We don't need the loan. So we talk about this. We talk about what the implications are from the secret society level. And some people might think that they might find it far-fetched. And I really did the research on this and unfolded it through the film for people who would be skeptical, for people who would have sort of a doubtful view of this, and tried to show with as much detail as possible that, yes, FDR's administration, these guys were deeply involved in the occult. And the resources that we're using, the other researchers that we're using, like researchers from the New York Times, we go to the Rorick Museum there in New York. We go to the another location called the Master Building that was kind of a centerpiece for esoteric thought. You had everybody from Henry Wallace to Albert Einstein to foreign dignitaries from around the world who showed up when the cornerstone for this was laid. And it was put together as this celebration for this guy, Nicholas Rorick, who was a centerpiece of international activity around which all of these universal one-world themes were being played. Rorick was very influential in the League of Nations, and he's said to have been very influential in the development of the United Nations later on.
And, of course, all these were aimed at creating the world government. That's what people don't understand.
Absolutely. And Rorick's piece of that pie, while he was affecting it through the White House, and he was affecting it through, League of Nations and so on, he at one point takes on, while he's being employed by the United States government and the Department of Agriculture, he's sent abroad over into Central Asia, and he becomes very involved because he was this international figure in the politics of Central Asia, trying to form this united Buddhist theocracy from all of these different countries over there in Central Asia. And this is what eventually got him into trouble with the United States and with Henry Wallace, and he was accused of being a spy, and a lot of the information there gets kind of confusing, but he had a falling out with America, and he ended up not coming back. But prior to that, there's evidence that he was being supported by U.S. intelligence, and that what he was doing was working on behalf of the White House to create a great Asian Union in that part of the world that would then be assimilated into a world government. It seems that Rorick got caught up in kind of his own celebrity, and he was doing all of these dramatic things over there, going and staying, and having Bolshevik guards posted outside his door. He was this very theatrical character, and we show a lot of images of the guy. When you see the guy, it's very clear that he looks like somebody deeply involved in the occult. And his wife, Helena Rorick, who wrote books extensively about theosophical ideas, Helena Rorick claimed that she was channeling the same spirit that had inspired Madame Blavatsky.
And I think people have to understand, these are demonic spirits. These are not imaginary. These are spirits from another dimension. Ladies and gentlemen, there is another dimension. We're involved in a spiritual battle. The only trouble is that they are representatives, from this other dimension, working at the highest levels of our government to bring about a one-world government, a one-world economic system, a one-world currency, a one-world religion, and to install the new one-world ruler, who will be Lucifer, or the Antichrist. We'll be back in just a moment with Chris Panto to wrap up the program. Well, Chris, you've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us. I'm sorry for the delay, and we're going to have to get you on again here sometime real soon to give the people the full hour. But anyway, we fortunately...
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396. 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-
Radio Liberty, family of supporters. And then, of course, we want to stress the importance of the DVD we talked about tonight, The Eye of the Phoenix. And really, it will give you insight into the people who put the occult emblems on the back of the dollar bill. And nobody wants to talk about that. Oh, they want to argue back and forth, whether the symbols, had any real meaning, occult meaning. Of course, they were all Christian symbols, where there's no way you can take that all-seeing eye, which is the emblem of the mystery religions, and you go to almost any Masonic website, and you will see it there. But this is not primarily a Masonic emblem. Yes, the Masons use it, but remember, the Masons are the modern-day manifestation of the ancient Rosicrucians and Knights Templar and the Gnostics and the ancient mystery religions. And you have to understand that to really understand what is going on in the world today. So we recommend the Eye of the Phoenix very, very strongly. We think it is an excellent vehicle by which you can communicate to others, and then you can show them the back of the dollar bill. They can see the things that they talk about there. Are people hiding emblems in plain sight? Absolutely. We carry several of Mandy P. Hall's books. We don't carry them in the regular catalog, but we carry them in a special catalog, and you'll have to ask for the special catalog. We carry his book, The Secret Teachings of All Ages. And there Mandy P. Hall tells you how that down through the ages, the people associated with the secret societies have hidden their emblems in plain sight. And that's exactly what they're doing today. And the average individual has no idea what's going on because they're not supposed to. So let me suggest you also consider getting the other DVDs if you're positioned to. That would be The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. And then, of course, the DVD, The Riddles in Stone. But if you're only going to get one, get The Eye of the Phoenix. And then, of course, we also have an excellent DVD when Chris actually came and talked to our conference a couple of years ago. It's called The Atlantis Connection because, you see, America was to be the new Atlantis. Atlantis was a society that existed in the period before the Great Flood. It was totally wicked, according to Christian belief, and wonderful, according to occult beliefs. And the occultists want to actually restore lost Atlantis. And America is to be the new Atlantis. And it is going to lead the world into the new world order and the new world economic system and the new world currency and the new world religion and, of course, install their leader. And you have to understand that these people worship Lucifer. Carries on. You have to understand Gnosticism. You need to go to your encyclopedia and look up Gnosticism. And it is a religion that believes there are two gods. There's the real God, who is Lucifer, and then the second-class God, who's the one that the Christians and the Jews worship. And people say, well, that's crazy. Well, unfortunately, the people who believe this and are dedicated to the establishment of a world government are in positions of power in the world today. If you have not read my November and December 2008 newsletters, let me suggest you go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com and pull down our newsletters. You really need to get those newsletters. And then you need to help us get that information out. And you're welcome to copy the newsletters and disseminate them. The January newsletter, we hope, will be out before very long, and we'll probably put these into a little pamphlet that you can take the two that we have now. The information there, a lot of it you won't get elsewhere. There is no question that this whole collapse of the housing market was planned long ago. It was done intentionally. Why? To destroy the financial foundation, not only of America, but the entire world, and to bring about this world government. And let me suggest that if you have any question about what I'm saying, that you get Henry Kissinger's article in the International Herald Tribune, January 12th of this year. January 12th, International Herald Tribune, the order, the opportunity for a new world order by Henry Kissinger. And you'll understand that what's going on today is not by accident, but by intent. So remember our number, 1-800-544-8927. Stand back here at Radio Liberty. coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be those of our good friend Bill Sardi, as we're going to be talking about what is really going on financially in the world today. And, of course, as we've said, what is happening today is not by accident. This is not just something that our leaders don't know how to address. They know how to address it. All you have to do is read my November newsletter, where I simply quote Mr. Henry Paulson, the Secretary of the Treasury, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, member of the Bilderbergers, who says this whole financial collapse is directly related to the cascading foreclosures on homes. So I have to have $700 million so I can address that issue. So they get the $700 million, and he refuses to address the issue. Well, why would he say that the problem is the cascading foreclosure of homes, and then not only refuse to address the issue, but oppose Sheila Bairns, and she's in charge of the FDIC, oppose her effort to do the same thing, which she thought they could do with maybe $50 billion of the $700 billion that Henry Paulson had? He couldn't even give away the full $350 billion, the first half of the TARP funds, because there wasn't that much of a need for them. It was all a scam. But you see, they're not trying to solve the problem, and that is what you must know. They're trying to convince you they're trying to solve the problem. They're trying to convince you that they really don't know what they're doing, that we're in uncharted waters, we don't know what's going to happen. They know exactly what's going to happen. They're going to destroy our economy. They're going to destroy our currency. They're going to impoverish our people. Bill Sardi, so good to have you with us tonight.
All true. When I was much younger, I used to say, well, I'll make sure I don't have any debt, so when all the dominoes fall, I'll be out of the way. But unfortunately, they've drug us all into this mess, every American. They're vanquishing our bank accounts, destroying our stocks, even manipulating the price of gold and making it impossible for us to find a way out. And if anybody believes this is just by chance, there's no way it can be by chance, because I'm going to show you tonight how certain segments of this certainly couldn't have been coordinated so well, that have nothing to do with each other. So how could they possibly... all these things have fallen at the exact same time. So when you look at it and you just see that bond rating agencies, now these are not organizations that you're familiar with other than by name, Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch, but they rate all these investments as to their quality. And they had to be fibbing. They had to be fudging the numbers and the ratings game in order for all this to go on. And, of course, had they put the finger in the dike, this whole scheme would have stopped. But somehow, somebody coerced those three bond rating agencies to adjust upwards all of these phony investments. And, of course, there's got to be some adjustment made now, because the people that hold these investments are paying the bond rating agencies.
And I think it's important for people to understand that what they did is they took all these faulty bonds based upon mortgages. They would take 100 mortgages, the subprime mortgages, where they knew the people would never be able to pay these mortgages. A lot of them got a house with nothing down, nothing for, no payment for a couple of years, or some people even were getting $25,000 back just to buy the home. I know that happened to a friend of mine. They knew that these people could never afford the homes. They bundled their mortgages. They rated them AAA. And then they sold them to financial institutions throughout the world, and they're destroying the stability of banks all throughout the world, and it's going on right today. Well, Bill, you picked the story up there.
To go on, we certainly are aware that we're losing jobs in the real estate market as it collapses. So bankers are involved in that, real estate agents, deed processors, home contractors. So, excuse me, we understand all of that. But why is there a decline in retail store employment? Why will 150,000 retail stores go out of business this year? What has that got to do with the real estate market? Nothing directly. And what this is a coordinated effort to bring every level of our society down to its knees. And so if you are smart enough, you walk around town, you look at the commercial districts, and you might observe that there's too many of everything. Pharmacies, restaurants, health food stores, it doesn't matter what they are, there's just too many of them. Have you ever noticed how many pharmacies there are? How many restaurants? Well, the bankers get in and they fund these organizations into chain stores. And then they come in and try to knock out the independent stores. And they can do so for 3 or 4 years without ever showing a profit because they're just chewing through investors' money. And that puts out all the independent stores. And they do this oftentimes by competing with the independent stores on price. So now they knock them out with low prices. At the end of the 4 or 5 years, they then try to conquer and maybe even raise their prices, but they find they can't raise their prices. And what's happened is this all has been orchestrated into what I call bank-captured or debt-captured companies. And so these companies were organized to produce yields for the bankers, not for the stockholders of the company. We know of a company that is $165 million in debt. It's a retail store chain. And pays $22 million of interest on its loans every year, but only $4.7 million to its stockholders. These kinds of companies, the bankers place the CEOs and executives in, their shills for the bank. They intentionally get the company in massive debt. And then, as we've said before on some of your broadcasts, in this instance that we gave you, $22 million of interest that they owe every year, with shrinking profits this year, they only have $4.7 million, they may not be able to meet the $22 million interest payment. And by the way, the interest rate is going to go up on business loans. They're called LIBOR loans. And so these companies that you see failing today normally would be bought by some suitor.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back in just a moment with Bill Sardi. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, Bill has just been telling us about how the banks lend large sums of money to a chain of stores that are coming on board. And, of course, they sound really great. They sell a lot of stock to the stockholders. They talk about all the profits they're making. They never mention that most of the profits that they're making are being utilized to pay back the loans, of course, from the bankers. The bankers, of course, provide the money, but they're getting a large, maybe $20 million a year is the example that Bill uses, $20 million to the bankers. $4 million, of course, of the profits going to the stockholders who put the money up to fund this whole thing. But now, of course, they're in a contracting economy. Why the interest rates to the bankers will go up, of course, the value of the stock has plummeted. And, of course, eventually, of course, the company is not going to be able to make enough money. It'll be sold to somebody else. The stockholders will be left with nothing. And the bankers will have a big smile on their face. But this has happened dozens of times down throughout history, and certainly at least a dozen times in the history of our nation. It's always the same, and people never learn. They want to get you into debt. They want to create countries based upon debt. But, of course, what we're witnessing today is the greatest transfer of wealth, in my estimation, that has ever been recorded in history. Bill, you pick up the story.
Well, certainly, as I try to explain, what we have here is a orchestrated effort, and something had to bring the retail store business down to coordinate and coincide with the real estate market collapsing. The bond raters cooperated with this thing, the Moody's, Fitch, and Standard & Poor's, and certainly what's happening now is, let me give you the usury or the how people have their fortune squandered and have no idea what's really going on. So let me go back to my example of the store chain that is $165 million in debt and pays $22 million of interest every year. Now, the $165 million of debt, if you had pencils around, it would make more sense to you, because the bank only loans out 10% of the $165 million, $16.5 million. And then it has the right to do fractional banking, that is, create with just a simple flip of a switch on a calculator and increase that $16.5 million of deposits that it got from depositors to $165 million and loan it to our example here, our chain store. So for $16.5 million of somebody else's money, that was the depositors at the bank makes $22 million a year. Gee, in 1 year, they're paid back everything plus some, and every year thereafter, they're making 100% profit. What are the investors getting out of this? What are they getting? Well, for 1 year, because that's all they needed their money for 1 year, the depositors at the bank got $660,000, while the bank is making $22 million a year on this thing. So, if you know, it's wonderful that you put your money in the bank, they offer you the 4% interest, because they're telling you that they're loaning this out to businesses at, let's say, 6%. So they only make 2, and you get to make the 4, and so it doesn't sound like much difference. But in reality, they're not loaning out your money the way you think they are. They're loaning out 10 times the amount of money off of the money you gave them.
And that's been known as fractional reserve banking. They only require to maintain a fraction of the money in reserves, and the rest of it they can loan out, and they can loan it out up to 10 times of what the original amount of money.
You as a bank depositor should be sharing in this outrageous usury, as if it's an excuse for all of us to go along with it, but nonetheless, the bankers are making a killing here, and the depositors don't even realize how they're getting roosted, because they're just being paid less than the cost of living. As we know, the inflation rate is higher than the rate you're paid on a savings account in the bank. Let's say you're paid 4% today, and probably the real cost of living is going up at probably 10 to 12%. They hide that from us and tell us it's 6% or so, or maybe 7. Even then, you're still losing money. So you are making an agreement with your banker that you agree that you will, it's better for you to lose a little bit of money than a lot more money, so you'll only make 4% interest and incur the difference between the cost of living, which is going up at 7% or probably really 10 to 12%, and you'll lose less money. And then the banker will make 10 times as much on your money at a loan rate of, let's say, 6%. So you have no idea of the amount of money they are making off of this kind of thing. So in 1999, the New York Times ran an article and said, if the price of homes starts to go down, we cannot handle the number of defaults we're having because we're allowing more marginal buyers into buying homes, people that are more likely to default and go into foreclosure. Now, you can handle a certain percentage of those as long as you have outrageous profits, but if the prices start to drop, and so this isn't an exact accident. This is something that was predicted in 1999 in a New York Times article, that we would have a depression far greater than the 1930s depression if this ever happened. So they certainly knew the consequences. They artificially propped up the demand for homes, and the American public fell for the bait. They fell for the greed. They fell for buying, quote, their own home. And, of course, the whole idea of this is just an illusion. As the bankers own the homes, write contracts for you to maintain the home for 30 years. I can't believe this. While they incur none of the cost to maintain it, but maintain most of the ownership. And I'm laughing at some of the mortgages that were written, which it said the first 15 years you're going to pay all interest, and the second 15 years you're going to pay your principal. So It means many of these people have some false idea. They have equity in their home, and they have none. Now, they may have gained some equity speculatively as they bought a $500,000 home that went up to $800,000. But there was no real increase in the equity of their home in regards to their payments that they had made against the principal. So greed ran the market. There's no greed there today, and home prices are dropping. And now for the frozen banking. Why aren't the banks loaning the money so we can get the real estate market started again? Well, if the banks loan the money, they lose because the housing prices are going down. So you're a banker, you'd like to give someone $500,000 for a home loan, but that home is due to drop to $350,000 in value. You're not going to get in a contract, a mortgage, with someone to be an upside-down mortgage where you more is owed than the house is worth. That is the collateral value of the house to the banker. In a foreclosure, he can only sell it for $350,000, and yet he loaned out $500,000. So he doesn't want to lose money on that. Some of this is all imaginary in a way because they're still using fractional banking and making money. But nonetheless, trying to understand the crazy banking industry and the way they go, what happens here is that assume you ran a hot dog stand. And you were told, you were given a lot of money. But you were told that if you sell hot dogs, you would lose money for every hot dog sold. Would you sell hot dogs? No. You just keep the money in the bank. And that's what the banksters are doing right now. They're keeping that bailout money. Mostly the large big banks and the Federal Reserve banks. Here's the interesting part of the whole thing. We can't think or see like the bankers do. I want you to imagine that you're running a hot dog stand. And you're running it on a street where you can look up and down the street and see 20 more hot dog stands. And you've got a lot of money in the bank. What are you going to do with the money? You're going to wait and try to buy out the other hot dog stands, aren't you? You wouldn't be stupid, would you? That's exactly what the banksters are doing. The big banks are holding the money and waiting for the little banks to fall and pick them up for nothing. Nothing! Because after they declare bankruptcy, and this is what they're trying to do. It's a cannibalism time. The banksters are trying to knock out their competitors, and they're using free money to do it. It was given to them. First they said they were going to buy the toxic loan properties themselves. Then they realized, well, the government can't own properties. It'll kind of be a government ghetto-owned properties, which none of them were able to sell. So they decided to, we'll just give the money to the banks. Ladies and gentlemen, when the public catches on what has been done here, that the only people in America that will have a positive bank balance will be the banks, who took care of themselves, while the public funds have been vanquished, every savings account.
I think it's very interesting. I was just reading where Southwest Airlines needed some $300 million to continue operating because they made some bad bets as far as the price of fuel. They thought it was going to remain up, and it fell. It fell dramatically. They did very well initially with their hedging, and now, of course, they're paying for it. They had to borrow $300 million at 10.5% interest. 10.5% interest. That's over, you know, $30 million a year. But the thing is that they were lucky because most of the other airlines were not able to get a loan that cheap. And if they were able to get it at all, they were going to have to pay 15 or 20% interest. Now, at one time we called that usury. We don't call it usury anymore. That's just simply banking. Well, it is usury. God told us usury was wrong. The Muslims don't allow it, and we shouldn't allow it either. We'll be back in just a moment with Bill Sardi right here at the American Freedom Network. Bill, go right ahead and pick the story up.
Well, we're creating nationalized banks, which means they're totally insulated.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that'll protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt, that nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
That's going to take that long. They're going to fund some of the activist groups that have to do with getting people voting. One of them, of course, is the Sydney Acorn. Is one of the groups that Barack Obama came from. A lot of this money is going, they wanted to give a $200 million for contraceptives to help children. How would giving $200 million to help children would actually prevent a lot of them from being born? Maybe that's what they were thinking. Be that as it may, if you look and see what this most recent $800 billion bailout really is going for, it's not going to cure the problem. If you stop and think that we have maybe 100, we've got about a little over 300 million people in the country, maybe 100 million families, this $800 billion would give about $8,000 to every family. or just cut their taxes $8,000 so they'd have the money to spend. They're not trying to solve the problem. They're trying to give you the impression they're trying to solve the problem. Just go right ahead.
Just imagine, you think people on the street don't understand. Where does money come from? What does government do? What are taxes? You know, they just pay their bills, and they go on. But somebody, you know, it might dawn on somebody to ask, hey, why doesn't the government just print more money and give us some of it? And the knee-jerk response would be that government just can't print money and give it away, that printing a vast amount of money usually brings uncontrolled inflation, and that this is a capitalist country that believes in the Judeo-Christian work ethic. You have to work for it. But ladies and gentlemen, giving away money is exactly what the federal government is and has been doing to the banksters, not you. This whole idea of you working for your money doesn't count when you're a bank. So this is what's going on.
I think it's so significant, ladies and gentlemen, that you can check this out on the Internet if you have access to a computer. Ben Bernanke has given away $2 trillion. The Fed has given away $2 trillion. They focus our attention on the TARP funds, but they never mention the $2 trillion that Ben Bernanke has given away, and he won't tell anybody who he gave it to or why he gave it. Now, he just says, well, it was necessary to rescue the economy, but the economy is collapsing, so if he gave the money away to rescue the economy, he's obviously totally failed. And, of course, why in a free society can't we find out where that money went? Well, a lot of people are trying to find out. People are bringing freedom of information suits against the Federal Reserve, but they steadfastly refuse to tell where the money has gone. We're talking about $2 trillion. I mean, the total federal budget's only not just almost $3 trillion, and $2 trillion in addition. Where did the money come from? Who did it go to? And they don't want the people to know because, after all, this is a state secret. This might endanger the safety of our nation if the public knew where the money had gone from. I think it probably would. When you realize that most of this is being transferred to the friends of Ben Bernanke and to the friends of Henry Paulson, and it's what you want to call them, the banksters or the invisible government or the elite, you're witnessing the greatest transfer of funds and wealth in all of recorded history. Bill, pick up the story.
So now you've lost your job. You've lost your home. What's the last thing left? Your bank account. And I'm ready to tell you they're taking that too. You see, Sheila Bair with the Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation, who says no depositors ever lost any money. They've lost billions in recent months. It's just that nobody lost anything over and above the $100,000, under the $100,000 upper limit. In other words, if you had $250,000 in the bank, you were only covered for $100,000 of that. She never lists the losses that are over the upper limit of coverage by the FDIC. But the FDIC is going to run out of money this year. That should make you nervous, because that's the insurance agency for your bank account, regardless of how little or how much you have in there. Is their burn rate right now, they're down to about $34 billion. They had $50 billion. They're losing money. If they continue, they say 171 problem banks, but there are 1,750 unprofitable banks. And if they go out of business, the FDIC can't cover their deposits, and you, as depositors, your accounts will be vanquished. And this could cause a giant bank run and a terrible thing. Now, they're going to try to get the banks to merge and so on. That's exactly what the cannibalism is all about. Get the banks to cry uncle and give themselves away in all their depositor lists.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is Bill Sardi. Bill, go right ahead, pick the story up.
If you have your money in a bank, be careful. The ones that are really suffering the biggest losses are called the thrifts, or the old, what we used to call savings and loans. So you really need need to pull any account out of a savings and loan. If you know what those are, then you need to pull it out. You need to put your money in some sort of bank that never had any of these real estate loans, these adjustable rate subprime or Alt-A mortgages. And there are commercial banks just for businesses. They're called Farmers and Merchants or Merchants Bank, something like that. And so you might find one of those banks that doesn't have any home mortgage loans on its books. Might be a safer bank. Understand, all the banks could have a run on them. And they only keep 10% of reserves. And ladies and gentlemen, none of the banks, except one that I know of, has adequate reserves because they all had to loan from the Federal Reserve to keep their reserve requirements. They were broke. In the last quarter, the banks in total, 8,384 banks in the United States, only averaged $200,000 of profit per loan, per bank. It's just a basically a paper money thing. They could have shown that they all lost money. They just had to cover the bad loans. They gave out most of it to cover the foreclosures and left a little bit just to show that they're just slightly over the going out of business minus sign on their books. So this is the problem that we're facing. Our money in the bank is due to be vanquished and destroyed. And, of course, where all this is really happening is California. It is the state of emergency. It has a $141 billion budget. It only brings in $129 billion. It says it needs $40 billion of bailout money. It's totally irresponsible the way the state of California is run. And no matter what you do in taxing the rich, going to four-day work weeks in the schools and other state employment agencies and so on, you're not going to make up for all this. Public schools are likely to completely implode and close, possibly begging for federalization and so on. You understand, in all of this, when they were talking about the approval of the TARP funds and the bailout money, that Congressman Barney Frank proposed, just as an afterthought in the end, well, let's throw in $50 billion for the public to keep from losing their homes.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Grocer's Bill Sardi, and Grocer's Bill is pointing out they're not trying to stop the home foreclosures. I mean, they've certainly buying up some Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loans. We're talking probably another couple of hundred billion dollars, you know, maybe to half a trillion dollars. Where's the money coming from? Nobody's ever asking that. Of course, what they're doing is they're simply printing money, and we're on the road to hyperinflation. They say, oh, no, there's nothing to worry about. We got the deflation. We need a certain amount of inflation. Ladies and gentlemen, do they need a little inflation over there? And, you know, in Zimbabwe today, in that society where we installed the communist dictator named Mugabe, who is still in power, because we're keeping in there, and now they're issuing $50 trillion banknotes. Could that happen in America? Oh, no, that could never happen here. Well, then how could it happen in that country over in Zimbabwe where we brought that government to power and we've kept that government in power, but we don't want the American people to know because, of course, half the people have already fled the country. And if something like that happened, where would we flee to? People say it could not happen here, and I would ask, why not? If God is just, don't you think he's going to bring his judgment on the people here who've allowed these terrible things to happen and America's wealth and military power to be used to force unpopular governments and certainly governments like the government of Zimbabwe and the people there who did not want it and only accepted it because of the guarantee of the American State Department and Henry Kissinger? Go ahead, Bill.
We're the greatest country in the world, but we can only say that because we have the biggest guns anymore, and that's about it. We're the biggest bully on the planet. To get back to this issue of your bank account and what are you going to do about it, the banks can't loan money because if they loan money, primarily most, it's about 70% of the profits brought into banks are real estate loans. Until the real estate market hits bottom, another 15 to 20% loss in the value of homes, the banks aren't going to loan much money. And if they can't loan money, but they're taking your deposits and paying you 3 or 4% interest, you see why they eventually have to implode? They can't pay you interest on your deposits, but still not make any profits by not lending out money. So they're stuck. They're headed for absolute failure. There's no way this can continue to go on. Now, Gary North, who some of you might want to subscribe to his newsletter, Gary North, he writes at lewrockwell.com online and so on. And, you know, he writes what we really should do. Convert today's excess reserves, the reserves, the bailout money that we're talking about, and do this and back it with reserve banking, that is, create a way that we back all of our money with 100% of what we lend out. In other words, we don't have fractional banking where we only have 10% in reserve. And eventually you want to back it with something of value that might be gold or silver or what have you. But the point is this would fix and create great value. And for us to do it is treacherous because we would have to make gold worth about $2,000-$3,000 an ounce. And then, of course, we'd have enough gold to monetize the system and all the money that I think there's $7 trillion or something of money in banks that we have, people, personal bank accounts. And we'd need to back all these up. And, of course, you could do it if you raise the price of gold that way. And the problem is that you'd create the best, the most secure currency on the planet and cause all the rest of the currencies in the world to fold in a midnight second. So you have to think about what you're doing here in the world and what is going on with them, too, and work in concert with them. One of the things we should do is follow what Ron Paul is trying to push, and that is to get rid of the Federal Reserve. Now, if I ask all of you tonight, if you obviously probably use a car every day, and if I ask you, you know, would it be better for you to rent a car every day from the rental agency, or would it be cheaper for you to buy it? Well, just no thinking there. Renting cars costs a lot more money than buying them, and therefore I'll buy one, and I can use it for as many years. I may not put a lot of miles on it. I can use it for a number of years, and it certainly work out economically for me. But yet, we rent our money from the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is not federal. It's a private group of 12 banks, and they cut themselves into every transaction in the United States, just like a multi-level company that's selling vitamins or something, cuts itself into the top of every transaction, and that's what the Federal Reserve does. And so if we would eliminate the Federal Reserve, like Ron Paul suggests, then we would cut out that layer of overhead, and, of course, we would actually get rid of the national debt. That's $34,000 for every person, over $100,000 per household, because there's about three people per house, and so on, or about three people for every wage earner. So you come out, about $100,000 is on your collective credit card. Imagine I've got a credit card with your name on it, and you need to pay $100,000 if you're a working person. Well, that's the collective national debt, and the Federal Reserve created it and has only vanquished your money. Federal Reserve created to stop inflation. It takes $23.51 today to buy what $1 bought in 1909, 100 years ago. So the Federal Reserve, created to stop inflation, has only continued to steal your money out the back door of the bank through inflation and, of course, vanquishing you and your family into poverty again and again and again. And so all under the idea that they're impoverishing the masses while promising security. And, of course, this is the way that they get away with it. It's their rhetoric. They go on and on. And if we decide now that if there's unrest and you start to see the television stations showing public unrest in streets, you know this is a concerted effort or all orchestrated to fan the flames of even more unrest in the public. And then there'll be agent provocateurs to throw bombs and things and start fires and create more unrest as they try to then push in a police state and control us all that way. And of course, take away our freedoms. And so, you know, they do this slowly, one thing at a time. First thing, the police ask people to give up their guns in a crisis like what happened in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. The police abandoned their posts in New Orleans later, leaving a defenseless population vulnerable to deal with crime there. And no one was prosecuted for constitutional offenses of taking away the people's right to bear arms. They asked all the people to turn in their guns. There's no problem with conducting searches and seizures without a court order as long as it's done inside of an airport. And federal agencies can seize property like gold without filing charges against you under the specious claim that you're selling gold represents counterfeiting. If you don't remember the Liberty dollars being produced with Ron Paul's name on them, that's the example I'm giving you. So your freedoms are being eroded while the government just impoverishes you and your family while offering you more and more security. And the biggest thing now is to watch what happens with the unrest of the masses, whether they fan the flames of that and then use it to control us with greater loss of our freedoms. So we need to be aware. If they turn off the TV coverage of a riot, let's say in one city, then and limit that, then usually it doesn't spread. But if they start to show it and try to fan the flames of unrest, particularly among the lower classes, then you're going to see massive unrest. And of course, all of this will be orchestrated in a terrible way to take away our freedoms. So we have to be careful. Our freedoms are flimsy. They exist on the whim of where somebody's going to provide the next paycheck for me, and we're about 10 days away from not delivering welfare or Social Security checks to, you know, creating great unrest in the country and certainly a great amount of anxiety. So we're too dependent on the federal government, and this is why we have all of these terrible problems. So the states have all driven themselves into an orchestrated debt. The cities have all driven themselves. The retail stores have driven themselves. The banks have driven themselves, all in an orchestrated effort to produce what? You ask yourself, why all of this at this time? And, of course, a lot of people pointing to the control of a one-world currency, a one-world government. Where we're looking is over our shoulder at China, because China has its own problems. And it's possible that China, trying to pump more money, they've been withholding money from their own system because they have a lot of profits. And if they dump that money into their system, exactly what we're doing, which is wrong, they're going to create tremendous inflation over there. So they hold about 26% of their money in reserves and so on and keep it out of the system. And then they grow at such a great rate over there, about 8% a year, their economy. It helps soak up some of the extra money they're making selling goods at very economical prices to Western nations and so on. But as they begin to collapse, as their manufacturing plants can't produce and they have unemployment, they're going to start using some of that money and releasing it. And as it goes into the economy, you're going to have inflation. And that's going to come back over here, and we're going to buy goods at a higher price. And this whole thing is going to implode on us as China tries to protect its own people from having just enough money for food and et cetera, or creating a little bit more jobs or economy. And so, therefore, there'll be inflation there. And then it means prices of goods and things coming back here will be higher. And then you'll see this backfire on us. And, of course, we'll see hyperinflation around the world. And, of course, this will just the Chinese will have no option but to save the yuan, that's their dollar there, and to make sure their purchasing power remains intact. So you're going to see this kind of thing. I have a friend in the business of foreign trade. He's telling me that there are thousands and thousands of containers that come into U.S. ports here in Long Beach, Seattle, and so on, from China every day. And most of those are deliveries of containers of goods that are paid for within 30 days of when they hit here in the United States. So as soon as they land within 30 days, I understand that there is $150 billion that we owe China right now on these containers that we have not paid. We've defaulted on so far. We're late. And we're just holding our hands around the neck of China as there's probably $150 billion of money that we owe China for goods that have been delivered here. And as these retail stores fall, they won't be able to pay on the goods that they ordered. The containers, we don't know what will happen to them. But the basic thing is the flow of money to China will cease, and this creates a great deal of trouble in the banking industry because it's China that has a surplus of our money that then loans it back to us. We owe them $2 trillion now, and we may default on that. And then there'll be a giant international problem as well. And if the Chinese stop loaning the money back to us, you can be sure we are going to live in tremendous poverty because that's the money we use for home loans and car loans and so on. So if the Chinese are forced to handle that money to take care of their own people instead of giving it back to the United States in loans, then there's going to be a terrible price to pay as we have no way to drive our economy. So we've done some stupid things. As you've heard President Obama say, we can't even produce and generate any more electricity in the United States because we haven't got the power lines to carry the electricity. And our long-distance power lines are in terrible shape. And the problem is we have so many power agencies, and none of them want to incur the price of replacing them. And, of course, President Obama wants to do this, and he's oblivious that there is some new American technology that would be able to fix this. And there's new power cable technology. When Americans produce, power plants produce energy, about 9% of that energy is lost between point A and point B as it's transmitted. Now, if you didn't have that line loss and you restrung a new type of power cable technology on the nation's 3,000 miles of the major power lines, then what you'd be able to do is save enough power so that you wouldn't have to build 97 more fossil fuel power plants. You would be able to have cable energy, the power companies that generate the power would make $60 billion more dollars, so they'd have more money for capital improvements. And, you would have the same environmental footprint. You wouldn't have to string cables, but just over the existing lines. And so it could all be done within 3 years, and we could fix the American system. The question is, through the politics here in the United States, will this kind of technology ever be adopted? It's available now, and it's economical, and it could be put in without the cost of any public money since it saves the money that it would cost to, of course, install it. So what I'm giving you is an example that private enterprise can do this with government's blessings if it'll open the road to it, take out the favoritism, and make sure that this kind of thing has some sort of priority in order to get it done. We've fooled ourselves. We're the greatest country in the world. We've lived and looked at ourselves in the mirror that way for so long that we've actually believed it, and now we're ready to fall.
And I think, Bill, the important thing is for our people to understand that there are people who do not want a solution to our problem. Certainly the problem, as far as if you really believe in CO2 emissions creating all this global warming, which I do not, but if you really believe in that, why do you block development of nuclear energy? Oh, we don't know what to do with the nuclear waste. Why don't we do what every other country in the world does? They simply reprocess it. Well, we've passed a law that makes it impossible to do here. Why would you do that? Well, somebody might steal the plutonium and build a bomb. Ladies and gentlemen, they've always got an excuse for not doing what's logical, but the real reason is they don't want a solution. We're in the process of seeing the destruction of this country because there are people who have a different agenda. who have a different worldview, and I believe it's because they worship a different God. Our guest is Bill Sarney. Bill, about 30 seconds before we end this section of the program, although you've got to stick on for just a few more minutes. Go ahead.
We're a nation mired in debt. We have $8,200 on the average household credit cards. We owe, as collective debt, about $34,000 a person, or $10.6 trillion on our national debt. We need to get out of debt, personally and collectively. That will put our country back in a state of freedom.
And, of course, we've got to start asking, where is all the money coming from that they're spending and giving away now? And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, what they're doing is they're beginning even to buy our own T-bills by just simply printing money, which is highly inflationary. Well, Bill, you've got...
I know what it's like to lay awake at night and worry about mounting credit card debt. That nagging feeling in the pit of your stomach that just won't go away, and the phone calls from collectors. Forget about it. Then I called Help You Out of Debt. Their professional staff of debt mediators were able to help me get my upside-down finances back on track and help stop the phone call. My Help You Out of Debt settlement specialist understood exactly what I was going through. My specialist was able to get creditors off my back, negotiate huge reductions on most of my balances, and help me fight back against the credit card companies. Help You Out of Debt specialists are experts in debt mediation and settlement. They are on your side. They've helped thousands of people just like me and can help you too. Call now and get a free debt review. If you're $10,000 or more in credit card or unsecured debt and ready to start fighting back, call 866-374-3101 and get your free debt review. That's 866-374-3101 or on the web at helpyououtofdebt.com. 866-374-3101.
With food prices soaring to all-time highs, as the dollar continues to fall in value, what can you and your family do to guarantee that fresh, nutritious vegetables will make it to your dinner table? Garden in a Can. Garden in a Can is your source for premium, long-term storable seeds. Garden in a Can is ready when you are. Plant them now or store them for when you really need them. There are 16 large, hermetically sealed, non-hybrid, open-pollinated packets of seeds, along with detailed planting instructions sealed in a can for ultimate long-term protection. Garden in a Can. It's that simple. Fresh, healthy, easy. Only $69.95 for over a half acre of safe, fresh vegetables. Ready when you are. Stop procrastinating and start preparing with Garden in a Can. For more details, visit GardenInACan.com today. That's GardenInACan.com or call 866-598-7396, 866-598-7396.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
The full context of the tapes, they've certainly been doctored, they're incomplete, but let's imagine that he really did exactly what we've been told. He was thinking, he didn't get any money, but he was thinking of selling the Senate seat for $1.5 million. Now, let me point out that on October 3rd of last year, while there was legislation before the House of Representatives, they needed a majority of the votes, and they didn't have them. So they wanted $700 billion so Henry Paulson could give that to his friends on Wall Street, but they couldn't convince congressmen to do it. So they added $150 billion. That's $150 billion to the $700 billion. So they actually increased the amount of money they appropriated to $850 billion. And the $150 billion additional was the pork that they gave to the congressmen. Well, they were able to switch 55 votes. So 55 into 150 billion. I figure that is about $2.5 billion to each congressman on average. $2.5 billion to each congressman for products and for programs in his district in exchange for the purchase of his vote, because that's what it was. I think we have the finest congressman in Washington, D.C. that money could buy, and I think that the fellow in Illinois is a piker. Why, he was going to sell that Senate seat for a measly $1,500,000. He really ought to get to Washington, D.C., where the big bucks are to be made. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a corrupt society because our nation is turned against God. You need to understand what's going on if you have not yet read my November and December 2008 newsletters. Go to RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com. You need, of course, to understand that this whole financial collapse is carefully engineered by the people who want to destroy our nation and take us into a world government. If you doubt that, you've got to get Henry Kissinger's article that appears in the International Herald Tribune on the 12th of January. It's entitled The Opportunity for a New World Order. That's what it's all about. The whole financial collapse is the opportunity for the New World Order. If you can't get the article, you can get it on the Internet. If you can't, give us a call. We'll get you a copy of it. You need to hear, Sydney, our new DVDs by Pastor Billy Crone, The Final Countdown, Part 1 and Part 2. We think they're an excellent source of information to understand what's happening today. Then, of course, we hope many of you will get the new DVD. We just got it in, The Eye of the Phoenix. If you don't believe that they kill people who get in the way, you need to get the new book, and we've just got it in now. It's called Target Patton. It's about the murder of General George Blood and Guts Patton, a great military hero, and after they'd used him, they had him killed. And you need to get the information. It's a very believable story, and I believe that they've done it. I know I have a book written by General Pedro Duval, 4-star Marine general, who actually writes in his book how he was asked by Harlan Cleveland of the Council on Foreign Relations to go to Japan to serve on General MacArthur's staff to discredit General MacArthur. Why? Because General MacArthur was trying to bring out the fact that there was some sort of an organization in Washington, D.C. That was undermining his efforts to win the war in Korea. Well, of course it was. We didn't go into Korea to win. We didn't go into Vietnam to win. We didn't go into Afghanistan to win. We just went there to kill a lot of boys and waste a lot of money. And because there's a different agenda. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Our webpage is RadioLiberty.com. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, because if this country doesn't turn back to God, we're going to lose our freedom. We're going to lose America. But then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.